This is WSBT's Community Update on 96.1 WSBT.
Good morning. I'm John Hoffman. Local economy, our topic today on Community Update. Once again, joining us on the program, Jeff Ray, who's the president and CEO of the South Bend Regional Chamber of Commerce. Jeff, good morning. Let's talk about a couple of things. I want to start with the South Shoreline. This project is, there are a couple of things going on with the South Shore. They're double tracking a segment between Gary and Michigan City. They're also looking at possibly relocating the station in South Bend, and there are several options there. What's your take on where the South Bend end of the South Shore stands and where we're trying to go with that?
Right. Yeah. Thanks, John, for having me. The goal from the beginning has been 90 minutes by 2020. I don't think we're going to quite get there on the 2020 period. But we've been big advocates for both the double track and the relocation in South Bend. We're believers that the west side of the airport probably provides the best alternative. I know AECOM did a little bit of studied several alternatives. We don't think Honeywell or Amtrak provide good regional options. Downtown is kind of aspirational and long-term could be a good thing. We think there's some real merit or benefit to the west side of the airport. I must say, though, that probably not as originally was designed. I think, there was a lot of concern early on about how it might impact a neighborhood over there. There were some estimates that said 30 or 40, homes could be impacted out there. We certainly don't want to see people lose their homes, but think there might be some better alternatives out there and hope that we can come to some agreement on a west side of the airport location.
What might those alternatives look like in terms of routing the tracks from the west side of the airport to join up with the existing line?
Yeah, I think that they've looked at 59, I think, different alternatives through there, really, starting just south of the airport and going a little bit farther west. As you go a little farther west, it's a little more not quite as densely populated, and so there's some options there. The airport, I know, many years ago bought some properties out in that area as well when they originally were thinking about doing this, probably some 10 or 15 years ago and such. So I don't know that anybody's picked a direct route, but I think that the designers certainly have been working hard to try to minimize any impact it might ultimately have in a neighborhood. We think the airport presents a couple opportunities. One, it's a great regional asset that people are already accustomed to coming to, and you keep your operational costs low out there. We also think there could be some freight opportunities that exist out there as well, too. We're not sure the AECOM study fairly accounted for the development opportunities in and around the airport area there, and so our hope is that that all that gets sorted out, I guess, in the next couple weeks or so. One of the things that struck me, John, the report itself said that none of the locations, none of the five locations being considered, had any appreciable difference in the number of people riding it. So for me personally, I'm wondering how much of a catalyst the railroad would be downtown, for example, if the same number of people are going to ride it. Maybe other things are the catalyst, not the rail line itself. And so just a lot of things to consider with that study. I do think that it was a great exercise to the city, and I know the mayor is really wrestling with what ultimately is the best location. There's a lot of interest long-term in downtown, but we think the best maybe alternative out of the gate here is the airport. It's funny, in 1992, when the airport current airport location happened, it was a temporary location that now, 25 years later, we're still using, and because of the high cost downtown, I think the west side of the airport might be just a better alternative. I don't think Honeywell or Amtrak present good options at all.
Yeah, doesn't the airport simply have the advantage of sort of unifying destinations for travelers, sort of making it a little bit of a hub for rail and for air travel in one place? And isn't that part of the thinking that goes in to using the airport as the terminus for the South Shore?
Yeah, I think exactly. It's really a regional asset. Access is relatively easy via bypass. So whether you're coming from Southwest Michigan or Goshen or Elkhart or whatever, it's pretty easy to get to. Some of those other sites aren't quite as easy to navigate and become less of a regional attraction. It certainly, I think you could argue downtown. You could argue the chocolate factory. You could argue the airport are all regional. We think the airport, though, because of that, the destination that it is and the connections to other forms of transportation, it's really the best alternative.
If you're going to do a route from the west side of the airport that doesn't cut through the Ardmore neighborhood and take out 30 or 40 homes, aren't you essentially reduced to some variation on west from the airport, south along the bypass to connect with the existing line?
Yes, I believe so. And I think that, you know, there's certainly a lot of considerations that have to be taken into effect. How does it cross Lincoln Way? How does it come across the bottom of the runway there? All those kind of things, you know, sort of weigh in. And so I think, you know, the best, I guess I know at this point is I think that they're sort of back to the drawing board looking at some of those other alternatives and seeing if there weren't ways to further minimize any impact. Because, again, I think that nobody likes to disrupt people from their homes. I think the 30 to 40 estimate was kind of a high estimate early on, and certainly those neighbors who have been there for a long time have some great concern. At the same time, though, and quite a few have called us and said, hey, if you're going some way, why don't you come down this route, because they had a desire to sell, too. So it's just a careful balancing act, and I think this extra time has given us a chance to really better understand the alternatives. This is could be a 25-year or longer decision, so it's important that we have all the facts first before we make that decision.
Some of the skeptics of this whole project simply say that shaving 10 minutes is not a significant change in the route relative to, you know, the overall goal of getting that run down to around 90 minutes into Chicago. What is your answer to those who say there's got to be some other ulterior motive for doing this?
Yeah, so I think this is a similar conversation that's happening up and down the line. And so when you look at the double tracking, for example, that ultimately affects some properties and neighborhoods up and down the line. So if the folks in Lake County decided that, you know, it's only going to save 10 minutes, so why should we participate in this? And then the folks in Porter County think the same, and LaPorte County and St. Joe County, pretty soon we're exactly where we are today. And so ultimately, you know, the thought has been, you know, we've got to really focus on getting whatever time off of this we can. As this becomes a viable alternative, quicker is better. And so we think this is, from the start, this has been sort of the St. Joe County piece of in terms of how to make this a quicker connection. If you're going up for a ball game or a show or so, maybe it's not as big of an issue, you know, that timing. But if you're working, if you're, you know, commuting, you know, those kind of things, it's a different, you know, a different alternative. So we just say, you know, we kind of have to do our part ultimately in kind of getting that time quicker.
Obviously, you'd like to have 30 minutes to Chicago, but for some reason, 90 is considered, in much of what we've seen on this, sort of the magic number. Do you think that's a fair characterization? Is that sort of a number that will actually move the needle in terms of commuter populations in our area?
We hope so. When we went up and analyzed and visited some communities north of Chicago and west of Chicago, and we looked at some commuting times, it really felt like it was that starts to make a difference. That's too long for me to commute. I don't want to commute that far every day, but some folks, that's not as big of an issue on the west side of Chicago or north side of Chicago. And so we felt like it had to get under that to even get into the consideration. I'm not sure how many are going to actually commute every day, but I just think that connection to the third biggest economy in the country is an important connection. We see more and more folks trying to avoid the hustle and bustle of living in Chicago or driving in Chicago, and so this gives us some great alternatives and better connections. And the truth is, we have a lot of people who do business up there too, and so that ability to get up there and get back quickly helps them be more productive.
Let's move on and talk about another issue on the west side of South Bend, which is the location of a new abortion clinic that is apparently going in on Lincoln Way West, assuming they can get their state license, and the efforts by a Right to Life group to build a sort of a competing clinic right next door. Now, that is pretty well off the table now because the zoning was not approved. And at this point, at least, they seem to be saying they're just going to look for another location. What was the chamber's thinking on this whole issue? What were you looking to see happen there?
I think zoning can be a complicated thing. I think in a case like this, though, for example, the property that was part of the veto out there was part of Southland's master plan was to that use was an acceptable use there. So as people bought the property and were proposing to develop it, sort of the city kind of changed direction there right in the middle. And so anything that sort of plants uncertainty about process, I think, affects us long term on the development side. So the rationale that was given is that these two might not live next to each other, or might not exist very well next door to each other. That concerns business people. They say, could you make how far do you take that argument? Should CVS and Walgreens not be next to each other because they're fierce competitors? Should should Long John Silver's and Whole Foods not be because they're different? They do different kind of food, if you will. Business people want certainty. They want to know that that the zoning ordinance is clear and it's concise, and people are going to make decisions based on the merits of a site and whether it meets the plan that the city put out initially. And in this case, it did meet that. It got vetoed, and then the council upheld that veto. So it just puts some uncertainty out there, and uncertainty is never a good thing. It sort of causes people to think twice when they're thinking about developing in a community.
So you're not so much concerned about the specific issues in this case as the overall impact on development and economic activity from how zoning issues are handled.
Yeah, absolutely. We sort of look at this from a medical office was proposed on a parcel that the long-term plan said should be a medical office or kind of a low intense office sort of use. And so that sort of worries us more. We really aren't in on the sort of the abortion and anti-abortion piece of it. It's really more of a zoning issue and what kind of message it sends to future developers who are thinking about doing a project in the community.
All right. I also want to spend a minute or two with you talking about population trends in St. Joseph County and South Bend. Of course, the area underwent decades of population declines in the wake of Studebaker closing and the other industrial move-outs we've had in the wake of that. And at this point, how do you see population trends in our area? Do you see the potential for growth? Are we seeing any actual growth at this point?
I think more potential than actual. So when we look at the most recent population estimates, we're growing at about 0.4%. Indiana's growing at about 2.7%. The nation's been growing at about 5%. And so that alarms us a little bit to sort of think that, we're growing at much slower than our peers in the rest of Indiana or around the country. That being said, though, I think the trend, our hope is that all the things that have been happening are going to reverse that trend or change that trend long term. Indiana is in a battle right now to bring talent, and all businesses are worried they don't have enough people here. And so we've got to really make sure we're bringing folks here. When we look at out migration numbers, that's the one that really worries us. That's the working age population moving out. That's your kids who decided not to come back here after college and instead move somewhere else. We've got to grow that population in particular. And so the 0.4% growth is the best we've seen in a really long time, but I guess the caution is we still got a really long way to go.
Now, isn't this kind of a chicken and egg argument? I mean, if the opportunities are here, the people will come. If they're not, the people won't. Do people come first, or does ever opportunity come first?
So the experts are saying that that people come first. I'm not quite bought into that camp totally. I think the opportunities have to exist as well, but it's really a mix. I know as we're working with companies who are thinking about this area, their top concern is can they find the talent that they need here? And so I think that the job piece still has to be here, but I know the trend in big cities has been people move to the kind of community they want to live in first and then worry about a job afterwards. I think people here are still worried about whether they find that right employment opportunity. So it really just has to be a mix of both. So you see a lot of quality of place improvements, a lot of trying to improve the environment, give different housing options, all those things we hope will contribute long term.
Jeff Ray is the president and CEO of the South Bend Regional Chamber of Commerce. Jeff, it's always a pleasure. Appreciate your time today, and we'll talk again soon.
Great. Thanks again, John.
The views expressed on WSBT's Community Update are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the host, WSBT Radio, its staff, or management. Join us again next week on Community Update on the Sports Leader, 96.1 WSBT.